Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks today that it is only you that can clean us. How many of y'all agree with that? It's only God that will clean us up, and he does. And Lord, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, the bread, the wine, and the connection today we have with you. It's in the name of Jesus we give thanks. Amen. Well, I got to ask you a very important question. How many of y'all got your angel face on this week? Huh? Anybody? Well, let's kind of do, let's review the week for a minute. Did anybody have any opposition this week in your life? If you're married, I don't know how you avoid it. So you had, Chuck, I know you had some. You always get in trouble at least once a week. When you hit opposition, how did you respond? Now, anybody's faith challenge this week, because we're in the midst of Acts, okay? In Acts. So here's what we're watching. We're watching the early church form. And I get asked this question all the time, a lot of the time, especially when I deal with other preachers. Well, what's the church supposed to be like? What's it supposed to be like? And you know what? People want a little set of rules. They want these boundaries. And if we do these things, we're church. It's not the way it works. What God has done is he's given us truth, and the church develops. You see, God is a creator. At the heart of God, you must understand, God is always a creator. Everybody understand that? And what we want to do a lot of times is limit the creative power of God. Because here's what happens. God creates beyond my understanding most of the time. How many of y'all have that dilemma? How many of y'all have ever had to say this in life's journey? I don't understand it. Why did this happen? Why did this occur? Why did this event go on? Well, here's Stephen, who loves the Lord. Remember, he's getting his angel face on. He said his face appeared to be an angel, and he begins to look at the Sanhedrin. Now, you got to understand the Sanhedrin. They are versed in knowledge and hard of heart. Now, I know y'all think I pick on them all the time, but I tell you what, I just can't find much good to say about them. And I try to be very open-minded here, because guess what I know? I can be full of knowledge, Timmy, and hard of heart. And yeah, I can do it too. Watch this. What really irks me, I've done it. How many of y'all have ever written people off because they didn't fit in your box? Oh, shame on us. Oh, man. Because you know what? Now, we don't consider that a serious sin because it doesn't fit our list of big sins. But when we start writing people off according to our perspective in principle, guess who we're declaring to be? Does anybody know what sin that is? Blasphemy. That's the one that will separate you from God quicker than anything. It'll separate your understanding. You and I aren't God. We're followers of God. We've all been forgiven the same way. And Stephen, full of grace and mercy. Remember that last week? Full of grace and mercy. Full of the Spirit of God. Full of God's heart. Stands before the Sanhedrin. And for the first 39 verses, he gives this history. He says, don't you remember who we are as a people? Abram called out of his hometown on the journey with God. And then he brings them to the point of Moses. And that's where I want us to take over, because Stephen gives them a warning. And man, does it tick them off. Bob, it ticks them off so bad that Stephen won't be with us much longer. Now, here's what I want you to know. Please, is everybody listening? Because this is probably the most serious stuff I'm going to talk to you about today. Today, as I speak, right now, as I speak. Right now, as I am speaking with you, and we're in a morning worship experience, Israel, the country that turned back to Egypt, the people that turned back to Egypt, the people that this book begins with, rockets are hitting small towns in Israel right now as I speak from the Gaza Strip, because the Muslim Brotherhood is so peaceful and loving in the midst of their Ramadan celebration. Now, I want you to hear me as a people of God. Always beware of Egypt. Just like I'm not God and you're not God, Egypt is not God either. Egypt, Rome, Babylon begin to become for us in this moment of history lessons of what happens when we turn to other things other than God Almighty for our provision. You want me to tell you what? Yeah, you want to be excited about food programs? It cost Israel 435 years of slavery. That's what the food program from Egypt cost. Because you get their stomachs, then you get their hearts, then you take their will, and then they become slaves. Remember in the desert, who gave them food? Then when they turned away from God, remember they died in the desert. Watch this, why it's so important for y'all to go to Bible study to understand there's nothing new under the sun. Daggum Solomon, he was exactly right in Ecclesiastes. Nothing new. Vanity of vanities. Nothing new. And what did they turn to instead of turning to God where the provision was? Where they turned to? Pharaoh. And then they had to start singing that song we sang in youth camp before. Pharaoh, Pharaoh, let my people what? Go. Be careful of the Pharaoh. They are not God. You and I are not God. Now, Stephen's beginning to point this out before the Sanhedrin. Now, note, Sanhedrin's got the power. They got the credentials. They got the authority in their realm. But he takes them. Now, go with me to chapter 6, verse 39. But our ancestors refused to obey him. You want to find yourself in trouble with God? Refuse to obey him. I mean, it's all through the scripture. It's not in one scripture. It's in every scripture. Just continue to refuse to obey him. Those areas in our lives that we refuse to obey end up being problem areas. Have you all found that to be true? Can anybody here testify other than the pastor that where I refuse to obey God, I do not find freedom? In my life. Watch this. God tells me to be... Here, let's use something simple. I don't know if some of y'all struggle with this, but if I let myself go, I can eat everything in sight. I love good food. Does anybody struggle with that? I mean, listen, and I'm talking good food. I mean, if it's me, and I tell you something else, cookies. Yeah, there's homemade kind. My Oreos will do me too, but homemade kind. Elizabeth made these chocolate chip cookies. She made them the other night, and I said, bring me three. Said, I'm right here. It's all I'm eating. Mm-hmm. I went through the first part of the news. I said, hey, can you bring me three more of those cookies back in here, honey? Jack, that was six. Before I got done with an hour of news, I'd had nine cookies. You know what I realized? Now, here's what Elizabeth does when she doesn't want to fool with me in the evening. She doesn't think I know what she's doing. She brings me a bowl of ice cream and about three cookies because I'm out like a light. I mean, you might as well give me a drug. I'm done after that. So if she don't want to hear me anymore, she just give me some ice cream and cookies. And I sit there on TV and boom, I'm out. Then eventually when she gets done doing important things, she wakes me up and says, go to bed. And then she wakes me up in the morning and I start another day. All right. But she knows how to knock me out. And she's like, just, I'm done. Timmy, Susie ever do that to you? She'd bring you ice cream in it because she loves you. It's because she don't want to hear from you anymore. That's what they're doing. All right. So I just want to let you all in on what they're really doing. But you know, God tells me to be moderate in those kind of things, to not be a glutton. And watch this. And guess what? But if I don't obey God in that, I'm going to lose a lot of freedom along the line. See, those are just simple things. Love one another as he has loved you. If you don't love other people in the same light that Jesus Christ has loved you, there will always be the tension in those relationships. Be careful. Obey what God has said. Now, let's talk about why do we need church? Have y'all ever wondered, why in the world do we need church? It's to help us encourage each other to be obedient to who? God. There's this thing in church we ought to be encouraging to one another. How many of you all want each other to be the best person following Jesus Christ that you can be? Now, we ought to build that into each. I get excited. I see y'all out all over the community. I'm so thankful for this church. The older I get, the more I get into this church, the more thankful I am for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is pretty amazing for me because I never liked church. And now I'm in love with Jesus' church. But we can't refuse. When we refuse to obey what God says, let me tell you what's waiting on the end of that stick. Slavery. And I want you to know that God is always freeing and humanity is always enslaving. I know our church is very open to people who struggle in addictions because I think we all struggle in addiction of some sort. How many of y'all got some area? If you don't watch it, man, your whole life goes crazy. Everybody got that? I got that. Which is, I got more than one. whatever I like, if I like it, here's how messed up my mentality is, okay? You know, if one works, 10 ought to work really good. Anybody got that kind of mentality? You know, go crazy. And then here's what I usually do. I go all the way out, and then I forget it. I'm done with it. Crazy mind. But guess what? If I obey God, He puts our life in balance and order. Now, here's what Stephen's saying. We had a chance to obey God. No, we turned, and where did we put our hearts? Instead, they rejected Him. They rejected God, and in their hearts turned back to Egypt. Warning. Yes, the cross of Jesus Christ forgives us of every sin. I believe that with all my heart. I mean, y'all believe that. You've been taught that. All my sin is forgiven, but guess what? I'm in a constant state of Romans 12:1. My mind's got to be renewed constantly. That has none to do with salvation, and I'll use a word, though, it does have to do with. I believe in sanctification. My mind's got to be renewed, because guess what's in my mind? I still got Egypt on my mind. My heart's clean, but guess what? I have a tendency I can turn back toward my Egypt. Any of y'all ever have a tendency to turn back toward your Egypt? On hot days at the lake. Hot days at the lake. Hot days at the lake. Sometimes I hear a sound like this. Egypt. Huh? Memories. I start singing that song. Memories. Makes sense? Funny things even happen at the lake. Chuck had a funny thing happen at the lake. I have to watch myself when things tear up. I want to act like I'm in Egypt instead of like I'm in Christ. One day I was having some serious boat trouble. I'd never had this happen, Chuck. I'm going to tell a story. It fits right here about Egypt. And I'm about ready to. Any of y'all ever have just, you about ready to look like a two-year-old. I'm about at that moment. Chuck comes up to me and he said, "Preacher, I tell you what, I know you can't cuss, but I'll surrogate for you if you need me to." And I said, "Chuck, that's one of the nicest things anybody's ever offered me right there." He was filling my heart. I said, "But don't do it because you don't live in Egypt either." But they turn their hearts back to where? Egypt. He was reminding them. They told Aaron, "Now watch this. Here's what we'll do. When we refuse God, we'll go get our own. This is just a pattern in humanity. We've always done this." How many of y'all, if you're not surrendered totally to God, you're finding something else to be surrendered to? Am I pretty enough? Am I smart enough? Am I hopeful enough? Am I powerful enough? Have I made enough? Which is, why do people go crazy over the stock market? It's their God. I mean, people jumped out of windows when it crashed. Why? Their God just dumped. Be careful what you make your God. Let God be what? God. They turn back where? See, this is history. Stephen, you know what Stephen's knowing? I'm a Jew too, is what Stephen's telling him. I know my history. I know what's happened. And we're in another moment, Stephen's trying to tell him. We're in another moment where God is revealing some great things. And you're holding to a covenant of law, and you can't see that it's God, just like our forefathers and foremothers did. Just like we did in the desert. Here, God had delivered us, and then we turn our eyes back to Egypt, and then what do? They tell Aaron. They told Aaron to do what? Make something from us. Now look, see if it doesn't sound familiar. They told Aaron, let me get here, make us gods who will go before us. How many of y'all want a God before you? Oh, it's difficult, isn't it? Now, the reason you need to pay attention to this, this is the repeated sin. Over and over and over and over and over. If you want to know the key to sin, it's right here. The key to sin is the first commandment. Have no other gods what? And you end up in all the other nine things that happen in those commandments when you put other gods before the God. Watch this. Can you commit adultery with your mind on Jesus? See, I'm going to say it where it really gets your attention. Can you imagine asking Jesus, "Jesus, would you mind if I went and fooled around with my neighbor's wife?" Now, what do you think Jesus is going to say? Huh? Well, go right ahead. You think Jesus would say that? Or what's he going to say? I'm not an adulterous God. I'm a God of covenant. You made a covenant, you stay where you are. And you say, well, Lord, she's mean. You knew that when you married her. Jesus tell you the truth. Jesus wouldn't do that. Adam, can you imagine asking Jesus, Jesus, I'll tell you what, I'm fixing to embezzle about $100,000. Would that be all right with you? What would Jesus say? He's going to say, no, you ain't doing that, Adam. Remember, you heard a sermon on Ananias and Sapphira. Don't think I can't do that again. See what I'm saying? Girls, do you think Jesus, if you asked Jesus, you said, yeah, Jesus, we want to gossip about some other girls. Not that y'all would ever gossip. I know y'all have never done that. But I'm talking about people that do. Y'all probably heard people that do. And if you asked Jesus, should we talk about these people, what would you think Jesus would say? They'd probably say, no, y'all, let me handle that. See, we turn back to Egypt, and then we want to create our own gods. Now, I want you to be careful. Some people make the Bible their God. See, the Word of God is to bring us to God so that we can follow God. But some people worship the map and miss the experience. I don't know about you, but wherever my map, or better in our world today, wherever, I don't worship my GPS. How many of y'all found it's got wrong instructions on it too? We can't make anything. Guess what? We had one, Elizabeth and I had one, about turned us into a pond the other day. It said, turn right, right here. And I'm going, hey, girl, that's a pond. But boy, some people, what? And Mark, I never believe the thing. I always think it's taking us the wrong way. And that's why it took us 8 hours to get to someplace it should have taken us six. Mark and I had GPS, and I thought, I said it don't take us off highways because I thought that meant it kept us on interstates, and it took us through every rural road in Ohio. As all we could see is nothing but cornfields, I said, Mark, we might be misplaced at the moment. Yeah. We trust things that are not God. And Stephen's bringing that to their attention. You know, he said, here's what our people said. They said, they told Aaron, Aaron, you're the leader. Go make us gods to go before us. And as for this fellow, Moses, who led us out of Egypt, we don't even know what's happened to him. Oh, Mr. Murley, whatever goes wrong in the Warren County schools, whose fault is it? Yeah. Mr. Murley's. Ms. Goff, when you were at Warren Central High School, if we lost a football game, whose fault was it, though? Oh, it's yours. If you hadn't hired Coach Cox and see how nothing's changed? Look at these people. Yeah, Moses. Where's Moses? I know how it works at Hillview. We had a reason our church is messed up, Steve Ayers. You should have known that 20 years ago. That shouldn't be a surprise. If I lead you, you're going to be messed up. If Aaron leads you, you're going to be messed up. If Mark Hale leads you, you'll be financially well off and messed up. But there's only one person that can lead us. God leads us out of slavery into freedom. And see, watch this. We're going to create a lot of tension. I want you to understand where the tension comes from. There's tension in this nation today. Do y'all realize that?
Yes.
And here's the tension. Who's going to control you? And what's going to control you? I think we got to be careful as believers, man. If money controls us, we've committed a sin. My life should not be driven by my 401k. My hope is not there. And if your hope is there, that's why you're depressed. It shouldn't be in each other. It's in who?
Jesus.
Stephen's was, and look, he's enduring a difficult situation. We don't know what's happened to him. How many of y'all have heard that in leadership? What's happened to our leader? You see this a lot in coaching. Tony Scott, you ever said anything negative about a coach? At least you're honest, Tony. George, have you? You ain't ever said anything about Eleanor, though. Yeah, be Ananias or Sapphira right there. I'm glad you read that story. Yeah, but see what I'm saying? It's their fault. This is ancient history, and the same dynamics that we deal with today are occurring. Listen, not everything's Obama's fault. Lord have mercy. We got some people think everything in the world is Obama's fault. Now, We have our faults, but guess what? You know what? Let me put this nation's attitude's fault. It's ours. Where are the people that follow God? Where are the Moses people? Where's the Stephen type people? Where's the Joshua type people? Where's the Caleb type people today? What do we say? And we got to say more than just say no. We got to say we're going to follow God. Remember Joshua's statement? As for me and my house, we will serve the who? Man, that's a statement. Where's Moses? Well, he's up there getting some instructions from God, the Big Ten. Is this not, Moses is up getting the Big Ten, and the people are down here making gods for themselves. And nothing changed. Making gods that'll go before them. And when we make gods with our own hands to go before us, we will always miss the God that is with us. Interesting, isn't it? Note this. They told Aaron. Leaders. A lot of you are leaders in this service. I want you to listen to me. The moment you listen to they told, you're out of line. I say this at pastor conferences, and man, people get mad at me as soon as I say it. I said, if you're a pastor that's going to listen to your people, resign today. Some of y'all get mad when I say that because I've heard you say things like this. It's my church. No, it isn't. It's Jesus' church. It's my seat. No, it isn't. It's the Lord's seat, and you're sitting in it. Well, that's my parking space out there. No, it isn't. God rents it to you for an hour. No, it's His, and I get to be in Him. That makes sense? You get there, you'll start walking out of Egypt. Be careful about that they told. Listen to what God said. That was the time they made an idol in the form of a calf. They brought sacrifices to it and reveled in what their own hands had made. Oh, how many times we do that? We're good. We're going to fix it. We're going to fix it. We're going to fix it. How many of y'all have ever been a part of the we're going to fix? You've reveled in it. This is what I can do. This is what we can do. This is what humans can do. We've had a few historical episodes with that, haven't we? How about the Titanic? At least all you young folk have seen the movie. It's not all that accurate, but it's a good movie. What do? We took that big bottle of champagne and the engineers and the technology of that moment of time and all the workers, they christened it over the bow of that ship. And what was the line? Not even God can sink this what? And there they go. And what sunk the ship? An iceberg, a misdirection, a wrong call by the human being. And what happened to the ship? It didn't even complete its first voyage. But at its launch, what did we all revel in? What have we done? What have we done? Be careful going back to Egypt. It gets you. Egypt will what? Kill you. It will kill you. Stephen stands before and he goes on, bringing them their history. But God turned away from them and gave them over to the worship of the sun, the moon, and the stars. What do you hear in our culture today? What's everybody trying to save? The earth. Now, I think as Christians, we don't need to be, we need to be conscious and not be a bunch of litter bugs and all that kind of stuff. But let me help you. We don't change the weather. We're not going to drive golf carts and that keeps tornadoes from landing in Missouri. But you know what? It's big business. And it's nothing new under the sun. You see, when we leave the Creator, we'll start worshiping the creation. The sun, the moon, the stars. Very familiar. This agrees with what is written in the book of the prophets. Did you bring me sacrifices and offerings 40 years in the wilderness, people of Israel? You have taken up the tabernacle of Molech and the star of your God, Raphan. The idols you made to worship. Hold on. It all starts with idols. Be careful with the idols, folks. Stephen's warning the Sanhedrin, but he's warning us at the same time. Be careful with what? Idols. Therefore, I will send you into exile beyond Babylon. Our ancestors had the tabernacle of the covenant law with them in the wilderness. It had been made as God had directed Moses according to the pattern he had seen. After receiving the tabernacle, our ancestors under Joshua brought it with them, and they took it into the land from the nations God drove out before them. It remained in the land until the time of who? David, who enjoyed God's favor and asked that he might provide a dwelling place for the God of Jacob. He didn't get to, but it was Solomon who built a house for him. However, the Most High God does not live in houses made by human hands. As the prophet says, heaven is my what? And the earth is my what? What kind of house will you build for me? How many of y'all glad to know God is bigger than what we can create? It also gives us the warning, never love this building. In Hillview, I want to thank you all. You all have never been in love with buildings. You traded for the right beat. I would rather have baptisms than buildings. I'd rather see God released in the world than housed in a dwelling. God doesn't dwell good. He moves over everything. Look, it shows us how powerful God is. Doesn't it, Andrew? It says, you know, heaven is his throne. Heaven is the big chair. And then, oh, he just crushes us high and mighty little earth creatures. He says, and the earth is my what? He says, you want to see what kind of God I am? I put my feet. I call a footstool what you call beautiful. I call a footstool what you call all is. I'm a God of everything. Not some things, not a few things. How many things? Everything. Has not my hand made all these things? Now note this. Has not my hand what? Okay, we got in. I want you to go to verse 51. Please, stay away. Do not be people like this. And you're not, for the most part. You stiff-necked people. How many of y'all ever been stiff-necked? How many of y'all know any stiff-necks? You can't be a Baptist and not know stiff-necks. Watch this. Jim Britt, Pastor Britt, Rabbi Britt. You've ministered for more than 2 decades. We can say that, can't we, Jim? Jim, you ever had to pastor some stiff-necked people? Oh, aren't they beautiful? They'll make you want to stop in the middle of the Red Sea and say, God, take me too. Stiff-necked people. You know why they're stiff-necked? They're going to do it their way and not God's way. How many of y'all have ever been stiff-necked? I'm just wondering, how many of y'all have ever been stiff-necked with your children? Did it work? Well, that created some beautiful rebels, didn't it? How many of y'all think your children have remote controls connected to them? I see parents all the time. They'll come in, Pastor Steve, I told my child to do this and they didn't do it. I go, really? And you're surprised? I mean, they're shocked. Well, I'm their father. Yeah, but they're a human being with free will and they made a bad choice. That doesn't excuse it. But you got to realize people are going to be people, stiff-necked people. Your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. Now, Stephen's getting on with it. That would come up on all three news networks if somebody looked at a leader and said, your ears and your heart are uncircumcised. Y'all picture that for a minute. Your ears have skin over them. And so does your heart. You know what that means? You're so caught up in the flesh. You can't hear what God says. And your heart can't love like God loves. Stiff neck. You just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. See, here's God doing a new thing, which is really an old thing. Bob, here's the way I look at it. God never does a whole lot of new things. He just does the same thing. But we're so stiff-necked and hard of hearing and hard of heart, it always looks like a new thing for us. Because we finally, really, it's not God did anything new. We just finally listened to him. So the results are new to what? Us. God's been telling us forever and ever that he wants to release us. He wants to live in us. He wants to dwell with us. He wants to bring us a full and abundant life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness. All these great things will follow us in our lives. But what do? How many of y'all cover your ears and cover your heart a little too much? If Stephen's talking to you this morning, listen to him. Boy, it can happen. I wish it didn't happen, but it can happen. I'm covering my ears and covering my heart. I cover them with what I hear and what I think and what I say and what I've read. And I can cover my heart with how I think it ought to feel. And guess what? I missed what God has said and how God feels. God has a heart of great feeling that he wants to move us out. Stephen said, you're going to miss it again. Now, let me tell you what. When you call a group of leaders stiff-necked and you tell them their ears and their hearts uncircumcised, they do get angry. So please don't go out and do that this week unless you like to be stoned. But he's letting them know this is your history. My history, your history is we've been stiff-necked and Jesus is fixing to release the heart. Was there ever, watch this, verse 52. Was there ever a prophet your ancestors did not persecute? Those who predicted the coming of the righteous one. And now you have betrayed and murdered him. He's looking at their organization and he said, has there ever been a time? Can you name me one time that you didn't persecute, that you didn't hinder one coming of God? Well, they get mad because you know what? They don't have one. You who have received the law that was given through angels, but have not what? Obeyed it. We'll pick up next week with the consequences of revealing factual history to the opposition. The history is God is. Now, what do people always want to change? History. Did the Jews kill Jesus? Yes. Did the Romans kill Jesus? Yes. Did you and I assist in killing Jesus? Yes. You know who's got blood on their hands? Everybody. So here's what I have to be careful of. This is a big dilemma. I can get stiff-necked at the stiff-necked. The stiff-necked get me so mad, I become just like them being mad at them. I become stiff-necked, and then mercy and love does not flow to them. And I say, you stiff-necked people. And see, I should say this. You stiff-necked people that Jesus Christ has died on the cross for. Be careful, folks. Be careful of returning to Egypt when God is walking us toward heaven. Does that make sense? Y'all been great today. Thanks for listening. Anybody pick up some tips today on living? Brooks, don't be stiff-necked. That's not one of your problems. You usually pretty loose, you know. Watch this. Let me end with this. When you get stiff necked, what's the problem? If you got any of y'all ever literally had a physical stiff neck? What happens when you get a stiff neck? You can't look around. It happens spiritually too. You won't look around and see that God's doing a lot of wonderful things. In this moment of history, I encourage you to look for what God is doing and embrace what God is doing and obey it. And I tell you this. Trust God. He tells us that in John chapter 14. Tells his disciples that right before they're going to take on a heated moment. You know, he said, trust in God, believe in me, for in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, but it is so. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. So trust in me, even when it's difficult. How many of you all have discovered this, that the church is a difficult place? Because it's going up against a difficult world. So here's the balance today. Slavery or freedom. You want freedom? Here's where it begins. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've broken the rules. I've not been obedient to what you ask. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Now watch this. Here's the release. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of all my sin. What is God going to do when you ask him to forgive you of your sin? He's going to forgive you. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Anybody excited about that? That you're going to be absolutely, totally, forever forgiven? Now, what does that forgiveness do? It produces, it produces a new way of looking at things, doesn't it? If Bobby's forgiven you, isn't that a better Saturday than if she hasn't forgiven you? Absolutely. Well, if it can work on this level, then doesn't it work in the heavenly level? Make sense? To live forgiven means I lean toward righteousness now, and I lean toward freedom, and I want others to be free versus to have my own gods. Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sins. Guess what will happen? He'll forgive every one of them. Lord, I believe you died on the cross. You've risen from the grave. Watch this. Cross, the world's idol, the world's instrument of control and fear. Jesus mounts that instrument of control and sets the world free through it. The Romans says, you ought to fear this. And Jesus says, I'm going to redeem this. What used to be the most feared instrument of death now has become the way into life. Risen. So that means this. Here's the greatest news I know. In Jesus, I don't have to be what I used to be. Amen. That is amen, isn't it, Nick? Aren't you glad that you didn't have to stay where you started? Oh, yeah. Well, I am too, because you wouldn't be here. Be that's true. I mean, that's honest.
We're in jail.
It probably dead. You pushed it pretty hard, Nick. Huh? How many of the rest of you pushed it pretty hard? Now, here's what we got to watch. How many of you have picked up a few coins from Egypt along the way? They're little ones. Splinters. And every once in a while when we get lowly or we feel bad or we wonder, don't we do like the children of Israel and we reach down in our pockets and we pull out one of our little Egypt souvenirs and we go, I remember Egypt. Let me tell you where Egypt is. It's on the cross, nailed to the cross. It's gone. You don't have any more Egypt. When God sets you free, you're free indeed. No more Egypt. So be careful. God will feed you. God will get you across the Red Sea. God will give you the covenant. Obey him, and you'll get through.
So, Pastor Steve, is that true?
I asked Corey Ten Boom. The Nazi government confined her to a concentration camp, and God brought her through. He said, Pastor Ayers, what about those millions of people that died? They lost their life, and most of them found heaven in Christ. This world's not powerful enough to get past God, so follow God. You know? Y'all remember that old Maxwell coffee commercial? Remember that? You know, they was out on the deck, and they looking at it. Good to the what? Well, here's God. He's good to the last breath. And so receive him today. Let's pray together. Lord, if there's anybody in here today that needs to just embrace you for the first time, we're praying right now for those that need to be baptized, those that need to be saved. Lord, please, at the 8 o'clock service, let us not get led astray, thinking that we all believe in here, because that isn't true. Sometimes we're listening. Lord, I pray for those who've heard well today. It's your day. The day of salvation for you is right now. Why don't you tell Jesus, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sin. Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross. I believe you've risen from the grave. And Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life. I ask you to come into my life. See what happens. Lord Jesus, I ask you to do what? Come into my life. Maybe today you know you've received Jesus. Maybe it's been years ago and you need to be baptized. Man, we've had people be baptized all through the week and through the year, and guess what? Let's get that taken care of. Let's get that taken care of. And so if you need that, why don't you come forward? How many of y'all need to come forward and say, God, I know where my Egypt fragments are. And Lord, keep me strong. Keep me out of Egypt. Keep me out of the places I want to turn to that I know aren't going to benefit me. Keep me, Lord. Keep me, Lord. Help me what? Lord, help me, Lord. All right? So in the name of Jesus, I'm going to ask you to stand. We got an opportunity to come through an altar. So come on and let's pray for a moment and then we'll head to Bible study.